Amen. Thank you very much. Please take your Bible and turn to Psalm 97. Psalm 97. If our special this morning came down with sickness, and so pray for Miss Casey and Sylvie. I understand she also is sick. This is just the time of year, so you pray for. Let's pray for one another. As last week, this psalm also ties into. Just a portion of it into the psalm that David first wrote in 1 Chronicles 16:31, and we'll look at that here in just a minute, but let's read the psalm together. The Bible says, "The Lord reigneth," and with that semicolon there, that's a statement that can stand by itself, "The Lord reigneth." But then there are these added clarifications and helps for us, and directions. So the Bible says, "So because the Lord reigneth, let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of isles be glad thereof." Why? Because the Lord reigneth. "Clouds and darkness are round about him. Righteousness and judgment are the habitation of his throne. A fire goeth before him and burneth up his enemies round about. His lightnings enlightened the world. The earth saw and trembled. The hills melted like wax at the presence of the Lord. At the presence of the Lord of the whole earth, the heavens declare his righteousness, and all the people see his glory. Confounded be all they that serve graven images, that boast themselves of idols. Worship him, all ye gods. Zion heard and was glad, and the daughters of Judah rejoiced because of thy judgments, O Lord. For thou, Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods. Ye that love the Lord hate evil. He preserveth the souls of his saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked. Light is sown for the righteous, and gladness for the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness." We're going to take our cue for this psalm from verse number 11. Because it makes a statement there that sums up when the Lord is reigning, what happens? Light is sown for the righteous and gladness for the upright in heart. So there's a person that enjoys that the Lord reigneth. It's this person. The person that walks in the light. Not the person who doesn't. Very specific. So let's give a few moments to prayer, and then we'll look right at this. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love for us, and God, thank you for the truth of your word, the help, the encouragement, the knowledge that's imparted to us, the statements that are made here that are so very plain, easy to understand, and helpful for us, especially when we look at the world that we live in. Especially when we see the darkness around us in the world and can't help but understand that we're supposed to shine in this world. But Lord, we have to do that by recognizing some things. And so I pray that you would help us today to recognize who you are, who we are, what is expected, and then God, how we can best show forth the light of who you are. Thank you for your love for us, for the work that you do in our hearts. If there's anyone here who has never accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray that you would, as the Bible says, take them from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of your dear Son, and that you would bring them into the kingdom of light so that they can see you for who you are and have a relationship with you through Jesus Christ. God, we thank you and praise you for your salvation, for the work you've done on Calvary, and for the way that we can know for sure that if we died right now, we can go to heaven. Lord, I thank you for your love for us. Pray that you would work in our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. If you'd like to, you can just turn back to 1 Chronicles there and chapter number 16, and we'll see again this employed or put to practice here in this psalm. It's incorporated. What we know that this psalm that we've just read is taken from these things that were written by David, whether they were written down again or they were actually are portions that were used. We know that they were used in the post-exilic or the return of the exiles from Persia. This was for the new worship in the temple. It will be used in the worship of the temple in the latter days because this speaks of the Lord working and reigning. But here we see it very plainly. The Bible says in verse number 23, "Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Show forth from day to day His salvation. Declare His glory among the heathen, His marvelous works among all nations. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods." We see this incorporated in this psalm. "For all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Glory and honor are in His presence. Strength and gladness are in His place. Give unto the Lord, ye kindreds of the people, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before Him all the earth. The Lord, or the world also shall be stable, that it be not moved. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice. And let men say among the nations, the Lord reigneth. Let the sea roar, the fullness thereof. Let the fields rejoice, and all that is therein. Then shall the trees of the wood sing out at the presence of the Lord, because He cometh to judge the earth. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever." So we can see right away that our psalm that we are reading, verse 31, "The Lord reigneth," back in our text, "let the earth rejoice, let the multitude of isles be glad thereof. So if we're going to take this as light is sown for the righteous, that means that only the righteous walk in light. That's exactly what it means. You will not walk in light if you are living in darkness. So how do we best understand the light? It's great because the Bible defines itself. So I know you're familiar with this. I just don't get tired of it. 1 John chapter number 1. It's very, very plain. 1 John chapter number 1, all the way over there, right in front of Revelation in the New Testament. Very familiar. You've heard me quote and other preachers quote this, even read from it, preach from it. But let's start there in the beginning of the first chapter. That's where we're going to just spend a little bit of time remembering that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. So John, the beloved disciple, is writing by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, and he's giving a testimony of Jesus. And he says, "For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us." So he's talking about the coming of Jesus. That's how he was manifested. God manifested the light, according to John chapter number 1, through Jesus Christ into the world. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. So Jesus Christ is the light of the world. He declared himself to be that. "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." So now we're getting into a little bit more explanation of why this is being written. So that our fellowship will be increased in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now it is increased with one another, but it should be increased with the Lord Jesus Christ. "And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." So when you're in the light and fellowshipping with Him, you will have joy. You will have joy. Why? That's the reason these things are written. When you know them, you will have joy. Light is sown for the righteous. All right. "This then is the message that which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, And in him is no darkness at all. Light is sown for the righteous. You don't see it in the dark. Dark is the absence of light. In him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Now, you can say, well, boy, that's good. That's written for people who are unsaved. Well, we're going to go into chapter 2, just a couple of verses here. My little children, these things write unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So, he basically gives us explanation that chapter number 1 is to inform us that if we're going to see the Lord reign in our lives, and we're going to see how he reigns, we're going to have to walk in light to see it. Because light is sown for the righteous, not for the wicked. Today, we should live walking in light, not in a fog, wondering what's going on in the world. We should walk, as Brother Mark very aptly put it Wednesday night, if you were here or you watched it, you know, we should walk because Jesus is coming back like Jesus is coming back. We should look like we're waiting in the light, not in darkness. All right, so if we do that, if we understand that light is sown for the righteous, again, not sown for the unrighteous, not sown for the fringe Christian. No, it's true. You're going to heaven if you're saved. It doesn't matter what you've done. God is not willing that any should perish, that all should come to repentance. But more importantly, he made a promise. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Stop. That doesn't mean you're walking in light. It means that you're saved. Walking in light and being saved are separate. No, they are. You will one day dwell in light because you won't have any choice. Can you imagine that? In heaven, there's no need of candles or light or anything. Why? Because the Lamb and God Himself are light and they dwell amongst the people. There is no night there. No more night. Can you imagine? Right there, light is sown for the righteous. And only the righteous will live eternally in light. So that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt believe in thine heart that God is raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you've done that, you're saved. There's no taking that away. Because he says, for whosoever shall call, your job, upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, his job. Very easy. Should be able to get that. Sometimes we think because we're saved, we live in righteousness, but that's not true. We know according to the Bible that it's possible to dwell and live in darkness exactly like the world and look like the world. So we understand that. So back in our text, the Lord reigneth. Those who are walking in the light, where the light is sown, recognize that the Lord reigneth. The Lord reigneth means this. He's reigning now. He was reigning yesterday. And he's going to reign tomorrow. And he's going to reign into the future. Reigneth means it's a perpetual reign. He's always reigned. He spoke the world into existence and he was reigning. Sin came into the world and he was reigning. And the law came and he was reigning. And as King of kings and Lord of lords, he is still reigning. And he'll be reigning throughout all eternity. There is coming a day when he will physically reign on this earth. And then the people will say, "The Lord reigneth." Because they will see it. They will see something different in that kingdom. But today, they should see something different in us. Why? Because the Lord reigneth. But you only show that the Lord reigns when you live in the light that is sown for the righteous. He's actively reigning. Verses 2 and 3, although sometimes he is obscured in our understanding, we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Come on, we don't understand everything that God does. The Bible tells us that we can't. The Bible tells us that we have no ability. We looked at this last week in Psalm 96, that we have no ability in Isaiah. We have no ability. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and his ways are higher than our ways. We cannot comprehend. So sometimes the clouds and the darkness are round about him. But here's what we know when we walk in the light, that righteousness and judgment are the habitation of his throne. So whether we understand what God is doing or not is immaterial. Here's what we know when we walk in the light. Whatever it is, it's righteous and it's proper judgment. It's God's will. No. Babies, please, come on. Babies dying never was God's will. It happens because we live in a world that is filled with sin and wickedness. It has nothing, God would, that was never God's plan. But because man chose, according to Ecclesiastes, man chose the last verse in chapter number 7, you got to read it. Man chose, God made man exactly the way he was supposed to be, and man found his own inventions, and wickedness fell on the earth. A loved one dies in a sudden car accident or in a sudden accident. So come on, we don't understand that. But here's what I can know when I'm in the light. God judges righteously. Whatever he's doing is right. That's where his throne is. How do I know that? Because I'm walking in the light. See, when you don't dwell, hear me, dwell in the light as he is in the light. When you're not walking there, you become bothered by things you don't understand. I just said bothered, and it reminded me of the way my dad used to say it. Bothered. But you do, you become bothered by it. It's disappointing. You're depressed. I just don't know. Wait. Light is sown for the righteous. Get in the light so that you can see that no matter what it is, I don't understand it. I don't get it. But I do know this. Because I'm walking in the light, I know that he is righteous and his judgments are the habitation of his throne. I know this, fire goeth before him and burneth up his enemies round about. Whenever I can't see how, I see the enemies of Israel. Do you see them? This is so prevalent in my mind right now. I see these, they're not terrorists. They want them dead. They've always wanted them dead. This has just been boiling in them and they faked everybody out and now they're actually living like who they are. You can act like that's not true. They're good people and they've been ripped off. Even their own people are saying, they're no people. You need to pay attention. You and I need to pay attention. These people want the end of Israel because they hate Jews. And let me just add this. And there are plenty of people in America who call themselves Christians who want the Jews dead, who believe that they replaced the Jews. Well, let me tell you something. Someday the Lord's going to reign and the Jews are going to be right there because he promised them a kingdom. And they're going to get it. So you and I better wake up. But you know how you know that? When you're walking in the light. Here's what I know. The enemies may be winning now, but they're not going to win forever. Why? Because fire goes out before the Lord. When Jesus comes back, his word is going to proceed out of his mouth, and people are going to die. Listen, the Bible says people are going to die to this level. Blood will be running in the valley up to the horses' bits in their mouths. Well, Brother Ron, that's figurative. No, it's literal. It's going to take them years to clean up the dead that were killed by what proceeded out of his mouth. His fire's going out. Don't become bothered with the government we have right now. What? Yeah. The Lord's going to take care of his enemies, and that's who's in the government right now. They call themselves believers, but they're not walking that way. The things that we're allowing, I just can't believe. Okay, listen, you can vote. That's exactly what you should do, but you need to listen. It's not that that's going to fix it. What's going to fix it is the Lord reigneth. You know, let me just take this a little bit further. There's one place the Lord cannot reign. You know where that is? In the heart of the person who won't let him. If you're not walking in the light, he can't reign in your heart. But no, he can't. I had this conversation with somebody, and I don't remember who it was, so I won't attribute it to them. I just remember the conversation. It is amazing how many times when you're just trying to do right, when you're just trying to do right, how you kind of stumble into doing right. Have you ever noticed that in your life? That you want to do right, you're not sure, and how the Lord takes everything and moves them in such a way that you look back and you go, that was the right decision, but I have no idea how I got there. Well, when the Lord's reigning, that's where light is sown. It's sown for the righteous to open up your path, because you can't walk in the dark. And God will not reign in hearts that won't let him reign. Listen, every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess, but not every heart is going to be opened. That is not what the Bible says. There will be a forced worship. You and I are supposed to do it right now because the Lord is reigning here. When you walk in the light, the Lord reigneth. Listen to verse 4 and 5. His lightnings enlightened the world. The earth saw and trembled. The hills melted like wax at the presence of the Lord. At the presence of the Lord, the whole earth just bows. Have you ever been driving in the dark? When I was reading those verses, I remembered driving in the dark, and there's a thunderstorm. And there's no light. When you're out on the highway and there's no light anywhere around and it's raining cats and dogs, and then lightning flashes right in front of your car, not right in front, but you know, way out there, and you're looking at it, you go, whoa! Watch. Although sometimes the clouds kind of hide the reigning of the Lord and we don't always understand. And then God, out of his mercy and love for us and for those walking in the light, we don't understand, but then there's this. No, it doesn't necessarily destroy anything. It's just now everything's lit back up. Because when you're out and it's dark, it's amazing how bright lightning is. Now, if you've only lived in the city, too bad for you, because there's always been some kind of light. But out in the country, when there's nothing around you, when everything's pitch black, and that lightning strikes and you're out, I can imagine your pupils in your eyes go from this to this. And you're like, what in the world happened? Well, that's exactly what happens when those who are walking in the light, who maybe don't understand what exactly God's doing, he brings these flashes, and he does this for the whole world. So right now, you could honestly say that what's going on in Israel is trying to draw attention to where the attention's supposed to be drawn, where the lightning is. What? Yeah, this, I know, I've actually heard preachers preach this. In fact, I heard a preacher say this, that we are getting rapture fatigue and people are looking for the coming of Christ. Hey, look, hey, if this helps people live like Christ is coming back tomorrow, then glory to God. Because that's what we need. Well, this preacher was saying as much as, it doesn't even matter if it happens. I mean, it still could be 50 years off. Look, I'm telling you, if Paul thought it was tomorrow, you and I better think it's today. That's what's going on in the world. You see strikes of lightning, and you go, and it draws your attention. Come on. Hail where there's not been hail before. Floods where there are not seasonal floods in the area. Now that's common in Kansas, but not everywhere in the world. God's drawing attention here. He's drawing attention here. That's what the lightning flashes are. And he's doing it for the whole world so that they'll pay attention. So that they'll recognize the Lord reigneth. That's what lightning's all about. Have you ever been out and seen something that just... when you're driving across... I still can't get over this. When you're driving across western Kansas and you get into Colorado and you're getting closer to Denver and on a beautiful, bright day, especially this time of year, you see the mountains and there's snow on them and they look so bright with a little bit of brown right before they get to right where Denver is. It's the smog. But you can see the front range and you look and it is as if you're driving across and it's like, boom, you can see it. God is trying to draw attention. Why? Because he reigneth. He's always working, always doing something. When you live in the light, you're always looking for the next thing that he's doing, recognizing the things that he's doing around you. It's the reason we don't witness readily. Watch. We get on an elevator or we encounter someone we've never met before. Instead of handing them a tract, because we don't know if they're saved or not, we forget. Why? Doesn't occur to us that God sent that person into our life at that moment for us to be a witness to. When you're in the light, you recognize it. When you're in darkness, or you're bothered by darkness and you're not paying attention and the Lord's not reigning in your heart, that's not your first thought. See, we tend to think that we encounter people even at church. We just encountered them today. No, you have to purposefully choose to do what God wants you to do in that encounter, because you and that other person that day were brought together for a purpose. And only God sometimes knows the purpose, and if you missed it, you missed that the Lord was reigning at that moment, maybe for that person and not for you. That God wanted to do something in their life through you at that moment. No, Brother Ron, now, come on. When you're walking in the light, you recognize that God is reigning everywhere all the time. His work sometimes is in flashes. Regardless, there's always light there. You look back and you go, I know exactly what God was doing there. The lightning, that one moment, I know what God was doing. Look at verse number six. The heavens declare his righteousness and all the people see his glory. God is not interested in just speaking to one person. Although he is. He's also desirous to speak to all people. If you sit in a setting like this, and believe me, I get it. Right now, it feels like to me, it's 7,000 degrees in here. I know it's not. Some of you on the ground, you're all wrapped up and you're going, I'm very comfortable. But I understand some of you also believe that it's warm in here because you're yawning and sleeping already. Now, I'm not mad about it. I'm just making an observation. It's easy to get lulled to sleep. It's easy not to see that God is working because I'm so distracted by everything else. Or I'm just comfortable where I am, and so I don't need to pay attention. The problem is, let's just say this. If you're driving a motor vehicle and you're not paying attention, that could be bad. In fact, it is typically how accidents are caused. I don't know about you, but one of my favorite things is being on a 70-mile-an-hour highway, and somebody in the fast lane is going 60. And so finally, finally I get an opportunity. It's not because they're driving a clunker. It's because they're driving an electric vehicle. But that was offensive. Sorry to those who have those. Anyway, and I am just kidding. But so you're driving down the road, and you go past that person, and here's what they're doing. I'm like, oh, man, I want to honk, but I'm afraid they'll take me out when they're headed for the other. So I don't honk. I just drive by and go, what is that person doing? Why would you be going even 60? I mean, glued. Like there's nothing else going on. Like you're watching Fox News. And there's nothing else going on except the Lord reigneth. And you know what God's trying to do? Gain everyone's attention. Why? Because it's not Ron Jones reigning. And you go, well, what does that mean? Ron Jones, you know, some people, the people that will listen to me, I'll speak to. The people who I know have no desire to listen to me. And that usually happens at least 5 minutes into the conversation. But they don't want to listen to me. I don't usually make an effort to go speak to them. You go, you wicked. No, so that's who we are. God's not interested in just speaking to me. I love it because when I'm studying this, he's speaking to me. I'm going, wow, I hope everybody gets this. And then I get here, I start preaching. I go, not everybody gets this. But it doesn't matter. The Lord reigneth, and he's always trying to get our attention. Even right here, he's trying to do it. Right here, he's trying to do it. Why? Because it matters to the rest of your life. Today matters to the rest of your life. He's always trying to get to our attention. Verse number 7. Then there's a contrast given here. Confounded be all they that serve graven images, that boast themselves of idols. Worship him, all ye gods. There's this comparison made between the graven images, and then verse number 8, Zion heard and was glad, and the daughters of Judah rejoiced because of thy judgments, O Lord. For thou, Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above the gods. One that walks in the light is never confused or dismayed. Only those who are following things that are not truth are confounded. Watch. You've heard people say this. I've heard people say that in witnessing, and I'm just repeating what they said, not trying to be confrontational about it or whatever. But if you're witnessing to someone, I've had people say this to me, and I think it's good for us to remember these things. People say this. Well, if there's really a God, why does he let babies die? If he's really a God, why did all those millions of people die in that earthquake? If there's really a God, why didn't he protect Israel whenever Hamas attacked and, well, let's just say the Arab people attacked and their enemies attacked? Why didn't God protect all those babies? Why would God let innocent people die? Why was so-and-so killed in a car accident? If there is a God, why did he do this, not in my timing? Okay, I'll tell you. People who do not walk in the light are always confused. Always. They have no way to recognize that the Lord reigneth because they're not walking in light. So they can't say, well, maybe God's trying to get my attention, or maybe God's trying to get these people attention, or I could have used this time to be a blessing or a witness to these people, or it's possible that God's just trying to show himself mighty in those people's lives. Why does God do anything? I don't know. But I can ask you this. Why would you worship something that does nothing? That's the question there. So when Israel sees the same work, this is the comparison. Those who are walking together in the light of God, where the light is sown for the righteous, those who are righteous, and not everybody in Israel did this, but and certainly not all Christians do this, but when you're walking in the light, you're never confused. You might even say this. Somebody might say something just really like, God did it because of this. And anytime somebody says that to me, I'm like, I don't know that. Why? Well, people have done that dogmatically through Scripture. I'm going to give you one instance, and I don't care where you fall in, I'm giving you one instance. You want to get an argument going? To ask somebody if there was a gap between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2. Ask them. If they think they know the Bible, they're going to start, I'll tell you then, this is what happened, and this is proof, and this is proof, and this is proof. And they get all dogmatic about it. And here I'm thinking in my mind, we'll see when we get to heaven. And when we get to heaven, most of us are going to be going, oh, that wasn't what I thought it was. Or sometimes when I go back, I go, oh, that wasn't what I thought it was. The truth is, if you're depending on anything other than God, and you have your eyes focused on any darkness at all, you are not walking in the light. Why? Because in God is no darkness at all. If we say that we are walking in the light and we're walking in darkness, we're lying. The Bible says you're not walking. If you have darkness there, you're not walking. So what does that lend itself to? Confusion. If you've ever been out at night, it's harder to drive at night than it is during the day. Come on. Some of you are acting like, no, it's all like daylight to me. You're old. Okay, I'm old. I can go somewhere in the day, and I can go there anytime during the day, 3 months later. But at night, I'm going, I don't remember where, what, wait. Things look different in the dark. You can live in the same bedroom for 19 years and get up in the dark and bust your shin on the little chest that's at the end of the bed and has been there 19 years. Why? Because darkness is confusing. If you're depending on all your information from outside sources other than thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway, you are going to the wrong sources. If you're dependent on books written by people who may know the light, and they may be absolutely correct, but you're not in the light of God's word, you will be confused. Well, I don't understand why this is going on. Why doesn't Jesus come back right now? Well, the Bible gives you all those answers. Do you know why Jesus hasn't come back right now? Because he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And the longer he waits, the more mercy he shows. And according to Exodus, when he revealed himself, the backside of himself to Moses, you know what he said? I'm a God of mercy. He wants the world to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus. Well, Jesus Christ, well, why would he allow this to have happened? Or why would he? I can't believe her. And if you're asking yourself this question, why would that person do that? Read your Bible. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that doeth good. No, no, no. I'm not saying we shouldn't do good. I'm saying it is not natural for us to do good. Don't be confused with why the world is where it is. Any person that's reading their Bible and realizes the Lord reigneth and is walking in light is not confused about the time we live in. But remarkably, I do believe that there are people in this room that if the trumpet were to sound right now, you'd go, because you have no idea that it's really that close. You know what that says? You're not. in the light that is sown for the righteous. Because light reveals, light guides, light shows the way. It's something that all of us need, but few of us think that we need. Do you get down every day before you get out of bed or as you get out of bed and say, God, I am going to make a mess of my life today unless you put a lot of light in it. Would you show me this? I've been praying with a young man about he's looking for a church, and he sent me a text yesterday and just very simply said, we just have this situation coming up, and it seems like there's now choices, and I need, just please pray that the Lord will lead us to do exactly what He wants us to do. Do you know, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. When you don't know what to do, the light is available. Don't live your life confused. Don't live your life in turmoil. You don't have to, because the light is sown for the righteous. Look at verse number 10. Ye that love the Lord, hate evil. So how do I walk in the light? Well, hate evil. It's a really pretty brash statement. What does that mean? Anything that God wouldn't like, hate it. Let me give you a comparison. There is no woman in comparison, I just have to say it. In comparison to Twyla, my love for any other woman looks like hate. And it should. What? Yeah. You mean you hate people? Let me explain it again. In comparison, if you were to hold, there's not apples to apples there. It's apples to peas. I love broccoli. I hate peas and carrots. It's true. So, pretty simple. If I'm walking in the light, I love righteousness. And I hate sin. If I'm walking in the light, the only thing that would reverse that is if I'm walking in darkness. What do you mean? I mean, if it comes to going to church or doing some other activity, I better love going to church because the Bible tells me to. Oh, you're one of those. No, the Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. The day's approaching. I better be there to exhort. Well, what if you have to? No. I'm not talking about having to make the decision that's hard and, man, I got to do this and there's no, I'm not, and I'm not condemning. Don't get that attitude. I'm just telling you, isn't it true that sometimes you do yield to the sin, and when you start getting back right into the light with God, you look at the sin and you're broken that you even thought that that was okay? Why did I think that was okay? I can tell you, because although light is sown for the righteous, darkness is where people who love sin live. And for those moments, I put out the light and quench the Spirit of God and let darkness take over. Oh, Brother Ron, I'm so glad that I live a life that I never do that. I mean, my mouth is always clean. I never have evil thoughts in my mind. You need to take another look at hating sin the way that God hates sin. Hating evil. Hate. Not the people that do evil. The evil. Evil is destructive. It's dark. It's confusing. He preserveth the souls of his saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked. Light is sown for the righteous, and gladness for the upright in heart. You know, people who walk in the light are always glad they walked in the light. You're never going to be sorry you walked in the light. Ever. If you you would say this, I would think, I know I say this, I was saved when I was 9 years old. It was the best decision I ever made, even though I lived an ungodly life from my teens through my 20s and into my early 30s. I can say this, that I can look at all of those other days when I was not walking in the light and go, I hate that. But I'm so glad that that mindset is dissipating in me. Do you hear? It's not gone. It's dissipating. It's not as prevalent. I'm never going to be sorry that I did the right thing in the light. I'm always going to be glad. You know who I'm going to attribute it to? Not to me. Thank God that through His mercy and His grace and the light that is sown for the righteous, He's showing me daily, this is a place you need to give up. This is a place you need to let go. This is another place you need to consider. This is another. Recently in my life, just my personal life, I've been seeing things and I've been going, you know what? I don't even need that. I don't need it. I can do without that. I don't need it. Why? Because it's not necessary to walk in the light. If I'm going to walk in the light, it's amazing what you don't need when you're walking in the light. It's like going into your garage. I don't need that. Why do we have that? We had it 20 years and it's still sitting here. Someday we're going to use it. That day has never come, but someday we're going to use it. Someday I'm going to do something with that. And then eventually when you throw it away, man, I wish I had that back because I need it today. I'm not going to lie about that. That's happened to me more than once. When I am walking and I'm upright in heart, I do begin to live as a child of light and not of darkness, according to Ephesians. According to Colossians number 1, I've been delivered from the darkness. Therefore, I should walk upright. Verse 12, I should rejoice in the Lord. I should give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. It's not my holiness that causes me to walk upright. It's His holiness. Why? Because when the Lord reigns in your life and you're walking in the light, things change. And the confusion is gone, and the love for evil is gone, and now you're rejoicing in gladness because you're not making those same decisions that you made, and you're obeying the Word of God, but then you're looking at it and you're saying, I'm obeying the Word of God. It's not like I thought any of this up. I'm not the author of the righteousness, He is. I'm not the author of the holiness, He is. And He has delivered me out of the hand of the wicked one. Think about Daniel chapter number 3, the three Hebrew children are thrown into the fiery furnace and they say to Nebuchadnezzar, hey, you need to understand this, that we'll be delivered from you one way or the other. If we die here, we're going to be delivered. And then if He so desires, we will be delivered through the fire. And they were delivered out of the fire. Why? So that all people could hear Nebuchadnezzar say, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's God is the God. Because that's what God is in the business of revealing Himself. Light is sown for the righteous. There's no confusion there. There's stability there. There's recognition there. There's help there in the light. There's gladness there. There's rejoicing there. So why wouldn't you live in the place that God has sown for you if you're born again? Why wouldn't we live in the light and hate evil instead of dwelling in darkness? You want to rejoice? You want to get over depression, discouragement, disappointment? Live in the light. Come out of the darkness. If you're saved in here this morning, you've already been delivered into the light. You're choosing to walk in darkness. If you have never accepted Christ, you have no choice. You are in darkness, and there's nothing you can do about it, but glory to God. He's already done everything He needs to do to rescue you from the darkness. If you're tired of the confusion and the dismay and the disappointment, the Bible says there's a way to come out, and here it is. It's all in Scripture. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Boom! Out of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. Walk in the light as He is in the light. And you'll have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse you from all your sin. You'll have fellowship with Him. Well, what if I am walking in darkness? If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Christian, there's a way to walk in the light. You just have to choose. Quit arguing and choose. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Nobody looking around.